usually the weekend before Christmas is kind of a real slow down time for local arts groups because, everybody's kind of packing up and going away, and you're not even really sure what kind of audience you're going to have there for whatever you're doing. But the way the weeks fall, it does kind of work out as an open weekend for people to do stuff. And so we've got a couple of dance groups taking advantage of it. The Kentucky Ballet Theater is doing their world premiere performance of their ballet of The Night Before Christmas, kind of going away from the Nutcracker this year. You know, we've got quite a few we have had and will have quite a few more Nutcrackers. And so I think Ballet Theater just decided they wanted to try and do something a little different. And so they've taken this very familiar tale and turned it into a ballet. Now, the Bluegrass Youth Ballet is doing Nutcracker, but they're doing it in what has become their traditional form, which is the Nutcracker in one act. And this is kind of a consolidated version of the Nutcracker so that, you know, it's a little bit more palatable for particularly the very young kids who maybe a full performance of Nutcracker is a little bit much. I remember taking my daughter when she was in elementary school to see Nutcracker once, and she was kind of gone by the time the Sugar Plum Fairy danced. And so, this is something that maybe is a little bit better for the younger audience.
Where are those at, those performances at?
They're going to be performing at the Singletary Center for the Arts. So it should be a good show. And it also marks the return of one of their alums, who is Amanda Weitz. And she's now dancing with the Dance Theater of Tennessee. And so she's going to be back dancing Sugar Plum Fairy. So kind of a nice homecoming performance for her.
Talking about keeping things sort of a manageable length, it seems like the holiday movies, all the movies that debuted during December, they're kind of long. They're kind of lengthy, and it's kind of hard to find time to take those epics in.
Yeah, I mean, clearly somebody, you know, some people are finding time because they're still raking in tens and hundreds of millions at the box office. But it was something that kind of occurred to me working on a column about Messiah and how the directors of Messiah performances here actually edit them down, partially because if you did a full Messiah, it would run about 3 hours, and audiences really aren't into that. But there are some movie directors like Peter Jackson and Steven Spielberg who do seem to think audiences are into three-hour runs. And it's kind of interesting that they drop these movies at a time of year when people are really busy and really have a lot of things going on. And I had a blog post up about this and a column in Sunday's paper, basically talking about that with a lot of these films, you can kind of find places that could be edited out to kind of make it a more manageable length if they wanted to. But I think they do it for, you know, there's some prestige in having a big, long epic like an opera or a Shakespearean play or something like that. And I think there is that mentality into it with award season rolling around.
And there are fans out there who cannot get enough of Tolkien, that cannot get enough of James Bond.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, you know, like I'm a huge James Bond nut, but, you know, I'll tell you, I saw Skyfall, and it wasn't egregiously long. It's 2 hours and 23 minutes, but I can say I could have found 23 minutes to chop out of that movie and, you know, make it a nice, neat 2 hours. And, thing that some critics have been saying about The Hobbit is it was just one novel, and Peter Jackson is stretching it out into three-hour movies, and quite a number of the reviews have been saying that it feels bloated and feels every bit of its 169 minutes.
Rich Copley, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.